Well, let's turn back then to the Gospel of Luke, and this time to Luke in chapter 19 for our message today. Luke chapter 19. Our text today is going to be Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the account of a man named Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, beginning to read in verse 1. He, that is Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. One of the most delightful reasons for reading the four Gospels is to observe the ways in which Christ interacted with individuals. There was often a crowd around Christ, but again and again in the four Gospels, we read that Christ took time out to speak to individual people. The wide variety of people with whom he interacted, men and women, he interacted with little children and grown-ups. We see him dealing with the religious Jews who thought they had it all together. And then he also deals with pagan Gentiles. He talked to people who were very rich. He talked to people who were very poor. In fact, when he was dying on the cross, he saved a man who had literally nothing. He was crucified naked on a tree, and Jesus Christ saved that man. Is there anybody in the Gospels that you identify with? As Jesus heals or speaks to people, do you ever say to yourself, "That is me. That was me. That's exactly what I thought Jesus was like." And then he changed everything. I thought he would be unapproachable. I thought he didn't want to see me. I thought he'd be standoffish. That's me. Or you see somebody else who comes running up to Christ and immediately falls at his feet, and you say, "Yeah, that's what I did. Boy, I was a mess. I just came up to Jesus and I said, I've got no idea what to do. Do something with me. Take care of me. Save me somehow." It's a wonderful thing to read through and to see how Christ interacts with people. But it's also a delightful thing to read these various accounts, because again and again, we see dramatic things taking place. Jesus was never boring. He was never run-of-the-mill. Everywhere he went, he was constantly surrounded by a crowd. Everything he did, people wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to miss what Jesus was saying. If he preached a sermon, they were there. If he did a miracle, they surrounded him. They wanted to be there. They wanted to see what he was doing. He was intensely interesting. It was dramatic what he did. In fact, when you read through the Gospels, we constantly read words like, "And the people were amazed," "And the people marveled." Or it says, "The people all left and went out and told everybody they knew." And they spread the news about what they had just seen. These people couldn't stop talking about Christ because they had just seen amazing things take place, dramatic things. And that's one of the wonderful things about this passage here, that the salvation of Zacchaeus is one of the most dramatic moments in all of the New Testament. It's intensely exciting. Look at how verse 2 grabs our attention. It says, "Behold." In other words, there's this massive crowd around Jesus, but the text says, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." It draws our attention to this one man and what he's doing. Have you ever been at the airport or perhaps a shopping center and there's all these masses of people walking back and forth and you see one person kind of think, what is that person doing? What is going on with that person? They draw your attention. They catch your eye and you start to sort of follow them and wonder what they're up to. And that's what the text wants us to do. It wants us to fix our attention on this man, Zacchaeus. It's interesting when you read the text, Zacchaeus is clearly hyperactive. He never stops moving. He never stops moving the whole time. It says here in verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And of course, he's too short to see. So he's bouncing up and down and trying to see. He's moving people around, how you do with people in front of you. You grab their shoulders and get them out of the way so you can see if you're short. I don't have that problem, but you know, I've never had to do that. But if you do have that problem, you move people out of the way, people like me, so that you can see what's going on. And then the text says that when that didn't work, his bouncing up and down didn't work, he ran on ahead. This is a grown man. And then he climbed up a tree. Now, some of you are thinking, that's just like my kids. My kids are hyperactive and they're constantly in motion, constantly moving. And then he comes down from the tree and he rushes home. And then when they're eating, he stands up and tells everybody what's going on. The man was hyperactive. And Jesus here, you look at Zacchaeus and you think to yourself, why is he so worked up? What's got him so excited? How come he's just bouncing around and racing around and doing all of this? Why is he so worked up? And there's a sense in which that the text is preparing us to say something dramatic is about to happen. Watch this man, because something amazing is about to happen to this man. Something dramatic is going to take place. Now, of course, reading the text, we know from verse 9 that what the drama is salvation. The dramatic thing that's about to happen to Zacchaeus is he is going to be saved. That Jesus Christ is going to call this man to himself and this whole world of this man is going to turn upside down. We know that because the text tells us. But today we want to look at the drama of salvation in this text. And the first thing that you'll notice is that salvation is dramatic because it came so unexpectedly. The salvation of Zacchaeus was unexpected. Nobody in the crowd saw this coming. Nobody in the crowd would have said, well, I'll bet Zacchaeus is going to get saved today. In fact, Zacchaeus was shocked when it happened. Zacchaeus wasn't expecting to be saved. Now, if you look at the text, it was unexpected in a number of ways. In verse 2, it says that he was rich. Verse 2 says that he's rich. Well, remember what we just read in Luke chapter 18 about the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus, looking at him, said how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. How hard it is. And then Jesus even goes one step farther and he says it's actually impossible. It is impossible for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, of course, when Jesus says a rich person there, he's not just talking financially. He's talking how hard it is for a person who is self-satisfied to enter into the kingdom of God. They think they're rich. They think they have everything. They have the education, or they have the social position, or the bank account, or the house. And they think that they don't have any needs. They think they've got it all together, and their life is going perfectly successfully. Jesus says that person, it is impossible for them to enter into the kingdom of God if left to themselves. And so when we read that Zacchaeus is rich, we're thinking to ourselves, he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance. How can he enter the kingdom of God? But that's exactly what happens by the end of the story. The other thing that makes it so unexpected is in verse 7. It says that when they, that is the crowd, saw what was happening, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. This man was a chief tax collector. And the Jews hated the chief tax collectors because the chief tax collector was a Jewish man who worked for the enemy. He worked for the Romans, and he didn't just work for the Romans. He took the tax that the Roman Caesar demanded, and then he skimmed off the top, and he took extra, and he stole from the people, and you couldn't do anything about it because he had the entire Roman army behind him. And so here's a Jewish man who is a traitor to his people, a traitor to his country, and he is stealing from his own people, and he's got the hated Roman Empire helping him do so. But Zacchaeus himself is obviously surprised at what happens. He never expected salvation. Look in verse 3. It says he was seeking to see who Jesus was. All he wanted was to satisfy his curiosity. He just wanted a look. He just wanted to see who Christ was. Obviously, they didn't have television back then, and so Zacchaeus didn't know what Jesus looked like physically. He just wanted to see him. Perhaps he wanted to see him so that later, when there wasn't a crowd, maybe then he could go up and talk to him. Perhaps he wanted to talk to him later, but certainly not now. Certainly he wasn't expecting that anything was going to happen in between him and Jesus. He didn't expect Jesus to talk to him. He didn't expect to speak to Jesus. He just wanted to see who Jesus was physically. And here's what happens. The text tells us that when Jesus spoke to him in verse 5, he saw who Jesus was. He saw, first of all, that Jesus is the Lord of glory. When he looked at Christ and Christ looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus, he realized this person knows everything about me. I'm not dealing with a mere man. I'm not dealing with a mere human being. I'm dealing with the Lord of glory. I'm dealing with God himself. When Christ spoke to him, he doesn't say, Zacchaeus, would you please let me come over? He starts ordering him around. Hurry and come down, and I'm coming to your house. That's a sovereign, royal command. Zacchaeus realized all of a sudden that he was dealing with the Lord of glory, the sovereign God of the universe, who is telling him what to do. In the Old Testament, on Mount Sinai, when God came down on Mount Sinai and gave the symbol of his presence with his people Israel, what was the symbol? You children know the answer. It was the fire. It was the smoke that was burning, and the smoke was going up as if from a furnace on top of Mount Sinai, and the people were terrified, and Moses himself was terrified, and God summoned Moses and said, Moses, come to the top of the mountain. And when Zacchaeus looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the flame of Mount Sinai, and he realized, I have just been summoned. The Lord of glory is speaking to me. This is not a mere man. I am dealing with God himself in the flesh. But the second amazing thing that Zacchaeus saw when he saw really and truly who Jesus was is that Jesus had a heart of love for sinners. When God summoned Moses to the top of Mount Sinai, he said, make sure that even an animal doesn't touch the mountain. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. And there was a fence around the mountain. And he said, Moses, you tell people, do not come up. Do not touch. But when Zacchaeus looked at Jesus Christ and saw that he was the Lord of glory, he saw someone who said, I want to spend time with you. And you and I are going to be together today. And he says here, it's interesting. He says, I must stay with you. In other words, I'm going to spend the whole day with you. I'm going to be with you, and we're going to be together. And I want to be with you. Moses only caught a glimpse of the divine glory. In Exodus chapter 34, he wanted to see the glory of God, and God hid him in a cleft in the rock, and then the glory of God passed by, and the Lord pronounced a revelation of who he was. He said, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And when Zacchaeus looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, he was looking that glory of God in the face. What Moses had only seen in the back parts, Zacchaeus was looking face to face with the living God. Zacchaeus saw more of the glory of God than Moses ever did. You remember, perhaps, in 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8 is the high point of the entire Old Testament. It's the pinnacle. Everything was leading up to it after the fall, and then everything went downhill from there. What was 1 Kings chapter 8? It's when Solomon finishes the temple. And the Shekinah glory, the smoke, the cloud of God's presence fills the temple, and the priests had to leave. They couldn't even function because the glory of God was so amazing it filled the temple. And yet, the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ told a sinner, I'm going to come stay at your house today. I'm going to come be with you today. And the glory of God is going to fill your house. Your house, Zacchaeus. Just like the Temple of Solomon, you're going to have the glory of God come visit you. It's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus was telling Zacchaeus. Has that ever happened to you? You know, that's what salvation is. Salvation is realizing that the Lord of glory is speaking to me, and that Jesus Christ is summoning me to obey him and to put my faith into him and to repent of my sin. It is God who created the heavens and the earth, and he is coming to me and speaking to me. Has that ever happened to you? That's what salvation is. It's dealing with the Lord of glory. But then secondly, salvation is so dramatic in our text, not only because it came so unexpectedly, but salvation brought such immense joy. Salvation brought such immense joy. Look in verse 6. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Christ joyfully. He received him joyfully. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells us a parable. It's a very short parable, but he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out and found a treasure in the field. And after he found the treasure, he sold all that he had so he could buy the field and have the treasure. And that is exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. He wasn't thinking he was going to find a treasure that day. He didn't think he was going to find the Lord of glory. But once he found Christ, and once he had Christ, everything else went out the window. All of his money, all of his possessions. You can have it. I don't need it. Take what you want. Take what I stole from you. It's all yours. Why? Because he had found something far more. He had found something that was treasure in heaven. Zacchaeus had found something joyful. Thomas Chalmers was a Scottish minister, and he describes it in this way. He says, when somebody becomes a Christian, it is the expulsive power of a new affection. The expulsive power of a new affection. Do you know anybody like that? They go through hobbies regularly. Every month it's a new hobby. They buy all the gear. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then the next month, oh, no, who would want to do that? No, and they're on to a new hobby. Well, that's the expulsive power of a new affection. Something has taken over their mind. Something has taken over their thought life, and now they're geared totally towards that. And that happened to Zacchaeus, and the power of affection was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his soul. And he no longer needed to gloat over his money bags at home. It seemed so silly, and it seemed so worthless to have all of that money when instead he could have Christ. Turn back to Luke 18. Look at the contrast between the rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. This is not an easy thing for a man to do. Look at verse 22. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He says, I want salvation. And Jesus says, okay, you can have it. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. And then he doesn't say, and then come follow me. He doesn't say, sell everything and then come follow me. He says, sell everything and what? You will have treasure. He says, you're going to have treasure. You're not going to lose out if you come follow me. You will have treasure. But the problem was, for the rich young ruler, that it was treasure in heaven. He didn't want treasure in heaven. And so we read in verse 23 that he became very sad. And the exact opposite thing happens with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus realizes that treasure in heaven is the only real treasure. And so he becomes very joyful and gets rid of all of his wealth. Well, it's very important then to understand that Zacchaeus was not the only one who was joyful in our text. In fact, Zacchaeus wasn't even the one who is the most excited in our text. Do you know who's the most excited in our text? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation brought more joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ than it did to Zacchaeus. How do we know that? How do we know that Jesus was thrilled and excited when Zacchaeus came to faith? Well, turn back to chapter 15. And the parables that we read, these parables are designed to help us understand the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are grumbling because they said that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And Jesus gives them these parables and he tells them, I want to be with the sinners. I love the sinners. He says, if a man has a lost sheep, he goes out until he finds it. And then he comes home and he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Was it a trouble for the shepherd to go after that sheep? Did it bother him? Did he say, ah, this sheep is costing me so much time and effort? And did he say, oh, there you are, and grab the sheep by the scruff of the neck and just kind of drag it along the ground, bumping it all the way home? No, he tenderly picked up the sheep and he put it on his shoulder and he held it to his bosom and he rejoiced that he had found his lost sheep. Look in verse 7. He says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In verse 8, he says that the woman who loses a coin seeks diligently until she finds it. The Lord Jesus Christ was hungry for salvation. He said to Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. Why must Christ stay at Zacchaeus' house? Because Christ was hungry to save his soul. He says, I must stay at your house. Jesus wasn't checking his watch every 2 minutes to see when the time was up. How much longer do I have to be with these sinners? How much longer do I have to pretend that I'm actually enjoying this party? Jesus was the last one to go. Jesus said, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be with you the whole time. Christ rejoiced to be with sinners. How do you think about Jesus? Do you think that Jesus wants to spend time with you? Do you think that when we gather together on Sunday, Jesus wants to be here? How do you view Christ when you sin? Do you think, that probably really made him upset with me? He probably doesn't want to see me today. I think what I'll do is I'll perform a little better, and then tomorrow when things are going a little better, I'll see if he wants to talk to me. Is that how you view Christ? If so, your view is wrong. Because Christ wants to be with you. Christ wants to be with sinners. This is not a business for him. He saw Zacchaeus, who was locked up with his greed and his covetousness. He saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he saw somebody whom Satan had blinded for his entire life. And when he saw Zacchaeus, he said, that man is lost, and he doesn't know salvation. And he doesn't know what it's like to have the freedom to say, I'm a sinner. He doesn't know what it's like to stand up in front of people and to say, I've sinned against you, forgive me, because Christ has already saved me. He's already forgiven all of my sins. Christ looked at Zacchaeus and he saw someone who was lost, someone who was enslaved. Have you ever seen someone who is miserable in their sin? Have you ever seen someone who has ruined their life because of all of the choices that they have made? And does your heart break? And if your heart breaks, what do you think the Lord thinks? Do you think that Christ hates people? Christ loves them. And he wanted to be with them. And he said, I have to be with you today, Zacchaeus, because there's no other way that you're going to come to know the love of God in heaven. Desperately wanted to be with them. And that's how Christ views you. That's how Christ views me. He wanted to be with this sinner. Well, thirdly, salvation is so dramatic because it changed Zacchaeus' identity so completely. It's amazing when you read these words. Just look at the words that describe Zacchaeus. He's Well, he doesn't have a lot going for him. He's short, he's a tax collector, he's rich. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. And he's lost. And yet by the end in verse 9, Jesus says, this man is a son of Abraham. He's a son of Abraham. This man's whole world has changed. He's been saved. He has been saved. An interesting thing took place. This is a true story. On the 5th of February, 1952, Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip were traveling on behalf of her father, King George VI. He was sick, and so they were traveling in Kenya on the 5th of February, 1952. They wanted to see some African wildlife, and so they went to a very famous place in Kenya. It no longer exists, but it was called Treetops, and it was literally a massive tree. And at the top, there was a lodge where very wealthy people could spend money and spend the night. And then they would have a guide who would point out the African wildlife as they stayed in Treetops. Well, on the 5th of February, Princess Elizabeth and Prince Philip arrived. They went up into the tree. They spent the rest of the day there. They slept there that night. And on the 6th of February, 1952, they came back down the tree. What's so significant about that? What's significant is that that very night, back in London, King George VI died in his sleep. And so this is what somebody said. This is what the man who was their guide that day wrote in the guest book at Treetops. He said, "For the first time in the history of the world, a young girl climbed into a tree one day, a princess, and she climbed down from the tree the next day, a queen." Now that actually happened. But the change that took place in the life of the woman who became Queen Elizabeth II was nothing compared to the tree that Zacchaeus climbed and came back down. When he came down from the tree, he had gone from being a condemned sinner under God's wrath to a son of Abraham with an inheritance of heaven. Everything had changed for the man. What does it mean to be a son of Abraham? The New Testament tells us three things about people who are the true children of Abraham. First of all, in Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that the true son of Abraham has the Holy Spirit. They have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and they now are not a slave, they are a son. Now God is their father. The Holy Spirit has regenerated them, given them a new nature, and now they've come into the family of God. The second thing, a true son of Abraham has faith in Jesus Christ. True son of Abraham, according to Romans 4, has faith in Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 6. This is a perfect example, perfect illustration of faith. What is faith? Well, faith means that in verse 5, when Jesus looked at him, called him by name, and commanded him to do something, faith in verse 6 hurried and came down. He obeyed the Lord and he received him joyfully. That's faith. Faith is taking hold of Christ and saying, "You are now mine. I receive you into my life. I want you in my life. I take hold of you. And I am trusting in you." That's faith. And then thirdly, the New Testament tells us, according to James chapter 2, that a true son of Abraham will always validate their faith by good works. It's not that their works save them, but that their true faith will always be indicated by their good works. And here in verse 8, the good work that he did was repentance. He stands, and notice here, he's talking to Christ. He looks at Christ. "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Isn't that the essence of repentance? What's the essence of repentance? Turning away from your sin, hating the whole life that you've lived before, and completely changing and following after the Lord. Notice the phrase, notice the words that he uses. This is a wonderful definition of a Christian. I give, I restore. I give, I restore. That's what a Christian does. Not because out of their own wealth and out of their own ability, but because Jesus has given to them, they turn around to other people and they give and they restore instead of taking and stealing. Well, today we're going to see some baptisms here in just a few minutes. And a baptism is a symbol that this person being baptized has had an experience just like Zacchaeus. That the Lord of glory has come seeking them out. Why did Zacchaeus change so dramatically? It's because, according to verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Why does anybody ever get saved? Because they're smarter than the rest of us? Because they're more holy than the rest of us? No, because Christ came and they were lost and he laid hold of them. And he found them and he saved them. And when Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, he didn't know that Jesus was seeking him. And isn't that the testimony of every one of us who's been saved today? The first thing we knew, we said, I found Christ, and I called out to him. And then later we found out, no, he'd been looking for me for a long time. And he called me by name before I ever knew. And I thought I chose him, but he chose me. And I thought it was my effort, but now I see that it was his effort. And he was the one who called me to himself. That's what people are confessing when they're baptized. They're confessing that this wasn't mere self-reformation, but that now they are a child of Abraham, the gift of the Spirit, the gift of faith, and the gift of repentance. And the person, when they're baptized, is also confessing, I'm the happiest person in the world today because I have found treasure in heaven. I found treasure in heaven. My sins have been forgiven. The righteousness of Christ has been given as a free gift. Heaven is mine. Everything is mine. The Lord Jesus Christ is mine. That's what a person is saying when they get baptized. Do you know something about the drama of salvation? Has this ever happened to you? Has this ever happened in your life? That's what we're rejoicing in today. Heaven is rejoicing today. Jesus said it. He said the angels are rejoicing when a sinner repents. And today, when two people get baptized, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, which came to seek and to save that which was lost. We confess that we never would have turned our own life around. We confess that it was your gift of faith. It was your gift of repentance. And we pray for Lewis and Caitlin as they are baptized today. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be mightily upon them. Give them great joy today. Give them great excitement. And we thank you for the work that you've done in their hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.